So look at classic cars here in Wisconsin in today's edition of Wisconsin Life. On a dead-end street in the tiny village of Brooklyn, a former windmill factory now houses some of the most beautiful cars in the world. Albrecht Stuckel is the man behind the wrench.
My name is Albrecht Stuckel, and I'm one of the principals in the enterprise of Mercedes-Benz Restoration at Brooklyn Motorenwerke, but we're known to everyone as Brooklyn Motorworks. I was born in Berlin and then immigrated to this country when I was 14 years old. Inside of Mercedes-Benz product line, we particularly work on these rather large cars from the 50s. These are cars that are sort of in the pantheon of automobiles in the industrial world. This is a 1952 300S Cabriolet. And what's fascinating about this car is very early, it's got engine number one in it. Well, they're right here. Yeah, it's 000001. So it's the first production engine for this type of automobile.
Is it imprudent to ask how much a car like this would go for?
About $500,000, $650,000 in that quadrant. We get the clients where the cars are, East Coast, West Coast, South Coast, and overseas as well. We've done a car for some outfit in Dubai, and we've done a couple of cars for men in India. When I work on this particular group of cars that we specialize in inside of the Mercedes lineup, I think of the individuals who build these cars. And the predominant thought that constantly works in my mind is to honor the lives of these human beings who wasted their lives building stupid cars. And, you know, they went to work every day. They did everything they could to make these remarkable automobiles. And what they got for it is probably an okay living and retirement. And that was it. It took 980 man hours on average to build that car. And today's Ford Focus is 6 hours. So it gives you a sense of proportion.
Okay.
Entropy is our enemy. You know, we're just busy fighting Mother Nature, a fight you cannot win. So it's not all grease and dropping fluids and getting bolts off. It is an intellectual exercise of asserting your intensity to get this piece of chrome flawlessly aligned or this piece of wood refinished in the most exquisite sort of way. I get very involved in that stuff, intellectually and emotionally. Not that I cry, but I get frustrated if things don't work out probably the way I imagined they ought to. I don't look for cars, but at this point in time in my life, they just come find me. Like love affairs, I don't have to have affairs with women. I just can't find another pretty car. I'm a glorious 67 years old. Retirement is not an option. As long as your mind is engaged, you are much more alive than you're waiting to sit around and die. I really enjoy what I do, and I hope to just keel over with a wrench in my hand one day.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a collaboration between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit the website at wisconsinlife.org and find them on Facebook.
So what's the appeal of a classic car like the Mercedes we just heard about or the muscle cars of the 1960s? Michael Marsden joins us now. He's Emeritus Professor of English, American Studies, and Media Studies at St. Norbert College. He's Interim President of the Popular Culture Association, and he studies our fascination with cars. Michael, welcome to the show.
Wow, thank you very much. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, why do classic cars have such an appeal in American popular culture?
I think it's a really interesting question because just yesterday, my wife and I attended a British car show just outside of Chicago in Palatine, Illinois, and it was just row after row after row of classic British cars. No museum that I know of could ever host a collection like that. But these are individuals who own, restore, and lovingly care for these automobiles. And, you know, there's all kinds of reasons, I think, why people collect anything. But if you look at cars in particular, I mean, some people collect cars to sort of recapture a moment of time. You know, they want to go back to their youth, so they want the car very much like the first car they had. If they could even find the first car they had, they would love to do that. They also, I think, as as Albrecht said on the interview, that they also demonstrate their control over this manufactured culture. I mean, these are manufactured items, and if you can tear it down and build it back up again and restore it to its pristine condition, that gives you a certain level of control.
Is that common for the classical car aficionado? They don't just own it; they have the hood open. They're tinkering with it.
Yeah, they're mechanics, and they want to get in there and they want to make sure it runs exactly correctly the way it was designed to. And secondly, they want to know everything about it that they can, which is why these car clubs are so popular, because the enthusiasts can get together, share information, share details, share parts. And they want to make sure it's authentic, just the way it was when it came off of the assembly line, or in the case of many of these cars, they were hand-built. So just the way they were when they were first hit the road. For a lot of collectors, and I see this in some of the people that I know personally who collect, they want to indulge their appreciation for that beauty of design. I mean, automobile culture is all about the relationship between form and function, and there's beauty there, and it's a kind of a true popular culture aesthetic experience when you look at automobile design over the years. They collect for other reasons. I mean, high-end collectors, of course, would argue that they are collecting as an investment. Well, that may be. They also, though, I think, collect what they love, not only just because it's an investment, but they love that particular design or the particular balance between the motor and the chassis. So they're seeking a kind of, I guess, technological perfection.
Now, you mentioned collectors. I imagine a lot of people, because this can get expensive fast, are collectors with a collection of exactly one.
Exactly. I mean, precisely. They can't have a fleet. But they can indeed collect that one car, and they can restore it to perfection or as close to perfection as possible. Then they can take it and put it in parades, or they can just put it on the driveway. And, it's what I would call driveway art. It's kind of what boat collectors do. They call them dock art. They never use that speedboat, but, it's a 1920 restored Chris Craft, and they simply want to display it.
You mentioned some cars becoming classics because a lot of people want to recapture their youth. How about movies and TV? Do they sometimes put a particular make and model in the classic category?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, nothing has probably been more part of film and television history than the Corvette. Movies made about it, television, of course, Route 66, the classic. But when you think about films and television programs, they do take certain automobiles and they put them into a new category by visualizing it. We're not going to forget, Steve McQueen riding through the streets of San Francisco in Bullitt. You can remember that. There's a wonderful film called Corvette Summer about a group of high school kids who rebuild a Corvette they find in a junkyard, and it gets stolen, and they track it down. But and it's a lovely film, but it talks about all these same issues we've been discussing.
Now, how about here in Wisconsin? We've got a lot of year that's really hostile to, as Albrecht said, the battle against entropy when it comes to cars. Do we have a thriving classic car scene here in the state?
Oh, I think so. I think it's pretty much, you've got cruising nights all over Wisconsin, and people want to display their cars. They want to show them off. It's Main Street USA, every Friday night or Tuesday night or whatever night, they decide to host these rallies. Consider Road America. I mean, right in the heartland of Wisconsin, Road America has vintage car races. I mean, it's one of its hallmarks. It's not the only kind of racing it has, of course, but people bring their vintage cars to the track. They drive them very often to the track, by the way, and then they race them on that track. And again, part of it is to show their own mechanical skills of getting this car perfectly tuned, but it's also showing off the beauty of it all, the aesthetic qualities about that. So I think automobile culture, vintage or other, is very much alive in Wisconsin.
Michael, I'll put you on the spot. Money is no object. What's your dream car?
I think my dream car is a 1998 Corvette.
1998 Corvette. We'll leave it there. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That's Michael Marsden, Emeritus Professor at St. Norbert College, talking about classic car culture. Veronica, I was telling you the other day, I'm not really a classic car guy. Cars are very much functional to me. Do you, though, have a dream car?
Oh, boy.
You're going to surprise me here? a part of your personality I didn't know was out there?
I'd like a car other than our Buick with 200,000 miles on it. That's our second car, but still, you know, a point of pride. But no, not the Corvette sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, okay, I could go for that. My kids like the Minis. Speaking of that too. British car show.
Yeah.